But a Kexin, and fellowship to you concerning what there's something in my family. Therefore, I could not be in person to a fellowship with you. And I'm somewhat regretful of this, but the Lord, He is sovereign with His arrangements. If it is so, we will use Zoom to speak some words concerning Series 2, Message 1. The second series was released in Anaheim on December 16th, 1995, of the graduation meeting of the full-time training in Anaheim. Our dear brother Lee prepared an outline that has 18 points. And every point is based upon one or two verses. And the topic of the second series, Series 2, the divine spirit mingle with the human spirit, the key to the entire Christian life. During that period of time, our brother Lee had much burden concerning the two spirits. Of course, these two spirits are God's spirit with our spirit. That is what we're somewhat familiar with. But as our brother entered into the high peak of the divine revelation, he felt it has this particular importance. That is, we need to pay attention to the two spirits, or the mingling of the two spirits, to have a new understanding, a new practice. Eventually, we need to have a new experience to be up to standard of the requirement of the high peak of the divine revelation. You could say it includes the God-man living, and you can say it also includes to experience God's organic salvation. You can also say that we're here to live out and work out the New Jerusalem. And you can also say that it includes to enter into the reality of the body of Christ. And you can also say that we're here to enjoy the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity, for He Himself to be constituted into us. All of those are items of the high peak of the divine revelation. But what we need to pay attention to the most is to enter into the experiences, the reality, and all the such revelation. We must have the mingled spirit. Without the mingled spirit, regardless of whether we have the highest revelation, the high visions, and the divine mysteries, but without the application and practice or practicality, we will not be adequate. From this Wednesday to the Lord's Day, I just want to remind you simply to encourage you as well that in these few days, we must apply and exercise our mingled spirit. If not, we can be just here listening to a message. We may have some understanding. We may take notes and speak something about it, but not necessarily it means that we have fully entered into the reality of the content of these truths. I am here to give a few more words concerning the burden of this training. although the time is short, there's a particular and special burden. That is, we do not view that for us to be here is just to listen to a good message or to give a good message. Nor are we here just to give every series, every message, every point for us to study it. And we have somewhat a fellowship concerning these subjects. To me, according to my feeling, if you do that, that cannot obtain or be up to standard the requirement of the training. I'm not saying I'm here demanding something, requiring something. I feel that the Lord in his recovery today, especially in the previous week, we had the July summer training. And we have crystallized at the 12 points or gave an overall view of Brother Lee's High Peak of the Divine Revelation. Yes, we have heard it. We have seen it. And what else is here? Are we just here to just review a little bit of the messages? Or is it here that we have a higher demand? Personally speaking, my feeling is that it has been 30 years past since the release of these High Peak of the Divine Revelation. And all these truth and revelation, they're all divine truth, and that High Peak truth, and they have been printed in the books. So what is the burden? The burden is, but dear brothers and sisters, I may be wrong, but I have a feeling that ordinarily speaking, in the Lord's recovery, according to our experience, according to our practice and exercise, we are not so strict in that respect. We're somewhat ambiguous, general, and we have not fully entered into it. For me to say these words, I'm not here to discourage you, but I myself am self-evaluating, checking with myself of my own service. In the meantime, as I observe the churches, the saints, and the leading co-workers, and I just have a feeling, a common feeling, that we're so short in our experience. So especially in our recent days, I went back to read again the book of Philippians. Why the book of Philippians? Because Philippians, this book, was written in prison of the several epistles, important epistles he wrote. One of them is Ephesians, the other is Colossians, then, of course, this book, the book of Philippians. When Paul wrote these epistles, who can write such a high book as Ephesians, so profound, so mysterious concerning the body of Christ and God's economy? And who can write to the book of Colossians, that Christ is the head, the portion of the saints, a lot of portion? He is the all-inclusive and all-extensive Christ to be our eternal portion. See, this book is so high to such a point we cannot apprehend it, cannot fathom it. And it's just those 2 to 3 years before his martyrdom, Paul was a very mature God man, according to our view. we feel that he is should be up to standard. He should have obtained, and that he should have attained. But as a result, such an apostle, even in this book of Philippians, said, "Brothers, saints, I have not obtained. I have not that I have already obtained or am already perfected. Not just that I count all things but loss, but today I am still pursuing, endeavoring, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but there is a calling, upward calling, that Christ has called me upward. I have not obtained, therefore I just forget the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before. I pursue toward the goal." This is Paul, not just you and I. If you use Paul's standard and look at our situation, evaluate our situation and state, we can see that our dear brother Lee has given us the highest, what is the highest truth to us. It's not that simple, right, in his giving these messages. But have we attained to it? Have we attained to it? I still remember 30 years ago, the more he spoke, the higher he went. The more he spoke, he was more condemned. That is in comparison to the revelation of the Bible, in comparison to what we've seen in our spirit. Our experiences are far, far, far short. Therefore, the burden within me is that, look, 30 years have passed, and we've gone through 3 years of pandemic. Should we, the ones in the Lord's recovery, have a new beginning? Should we have a new revival? And such a revival is not with having some any kind of movement, any kind of Pentecostal movement. No. The revival that I'm talking about is a revival that comes from deep within us. And then this revival must begin and start from our mingled spirit. And this revival, such a revival, has a goal that we not only need to see and understand the high peak truth, but this revival is to make practical, to practice what we have seen, what we have been enlightened of, what we have attained, item by item in our daily living, in our marriage lives, in our services, in our serving life, even in our church life. We have to live them out. The challenge today is of such. This is the most important thing and most important burden of the Lord's recovery today. In 1996, about half a year before Brother Lee passed away, in Anaheim, he spoke in Chinese in the training. That training is for the co-workers and elders. Before, it was mainly for in Chinese, those from Taiwan, and some of us who also joined. Because of the English speaking and brothers, they hope that they can attain, they want to join the fellowship. They're willing to listen to earphones. So those messages and were printed together, how to be co-workers elder and how to fulfill the obligation of the co-working elder. I'm not here to speak or re-speak those messages. Please go to the book, How to Fulfill the Obligations of the Co-workers and Elders. And Brother Lee went through the three full ministry of Christ in three stages. He spoke three messages. The following messages, he talked about things we need to be aware of. In a sense, you can say it is a warning, it is a blessing, and you can say it is also a word of exhortation. He had almost released all the high peak of the divine revelation in 1997, February, in his last open public conference. It's in the Chinese-speaking news conference. He say that reigning life, that is the highest point. He has released all of that. One, beware of ambition. Two, beware of pride. Three, beware of self-justification. He has told to obtain beware of, because the second series, I will fight the other 5 to 8 to read it to you. And I will read to you in 5. Not being conformed to the death of Christ. You should be not living according to it. Do not set your mind on the mingled spirit. Not walking, having your being strictly according to the mingled spirit, be number 5. Number 6, not setting your mind on the mingled spirit. Number 7, not magnifying Christ by living him through the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Number 8, not living with Christ, walking, working, and moving with him. Those are not. And what our brothers have given us before he departed from this world, he gave us a word of exhortation. And such a word is so practical. We're all clear about the truth. The full ministry of Christ in his three stages, we are clear. Now, the first is incarnation, the stage of incarnation. The second is a stage of inclusion. And third is a stage of intensification. I will not repeat them. You should have known about it. But what our brothers have given us here is to bring us into the experiences, bring into our living, bring us into our living, walking, and manner of life. This is our need today. Today, we need to live out the high peak of the divine revelation. We need to practice these things. Then we can become the witnesses of Christ in this age. Then we can say we are the Lord's recovery. We are the Lord's church. I have such a deep burden. I hope that, dear brothers and sisters, those who are in person in Anaheim, and those who are receiving the training online, may we receive the Lord's particular grace. Even the Lord's grace needs something somewhat special or particular grace of the Lord at the end of this age. May the Lord grant us such a high, such a solemn, serious things who are related to with God's economy. And these things has so much to do with the building of the body, the preparation of the bride. Oh, today we must leave live out these things. So the book of Philippians is Paul in his feeling, in his, he has heard the languages in the third heaven that we have not heard before. He has went so high, but we come to the book of Philippians. He said, I have not attained. I will pursue. I will lay hold of Christ. I hope that, dear brothers and sisters, who will receive the training here, these few days here, don't think this is a conference. Just for us to receive a little help. May we have a beginning of a new revival. May this be beginning of pursuit. Online, I've spoke some words for the preparation of the training. We need to have a new seeking, new pursuit. We need to have a new seeking, new desire, new seeking. What is common, what is general, what's ambiguous, will not do. Today in the Lord's recovery, not necessarily all the brothers and sisters, at least some brothers and sisters, they have seen the vision, they received the burden within them, they are strict to themselves. They require of themselves, they know they have to pay a price to buy the gold, to buy the eye self, to buy the white garments. Oh, may we have the reality of these spiritual things. I hope this will be such that in these few days, there is more seeking, more praying, much seeking, much prayer. We want to, the Lord says, ask, it shall be given to you. That is the Lord's promise. Ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. And knock, it shall be opened to you. How good a promise is this? Now we need a group of people. Among the Lord's recovery today, among all the churches, there must be a group of people who have a new searching, a new pursuing, new longing, new searching, new seeking, new pursuing. I just don't know what to say. I just want to present to you and transmit to you this burden in such a brief way. Don't be afraid that I will have time and will cover this outline. I hope that brothers and sisters, you yourselves can enter into these words. In message one, as the ministry portion of message one, maybe there are 2 to 3 pages. After I read it, I feel that is adequate. Almost all the ministry excerpt are quoting from in the 1950s and 60s, serving with the human spirit. That is 1951. And by the way, 90 to 97, the story, this matter of the spirit, the mingled spirit, how many years he simply spoke from 1951 to 97, right? Maybe more, 40, 50, 60 years of speaking the spirit, but then he has went onward. It's not that these outlines are not so good, but we must have an understanding, even those so basic things such as the mingled spirit requires us to have a new entrance into it, a new experience of it. So message one, the key to our relationship with God, to our being built together as his dwelling place. So Brother Lee has 18 points we divided to 4 points, and this is the 4 points of the 18 points. Everyone knows about it. I'll just read it. And Roman numeral 2, 3, and 4 is somewhat newer. I will now just read the outline. The Roman numeral 1, we worship God, the Spirit, by our spirit. A, God is spirit, and spirit is the essence of God. In order to touch God, experience God, we need to know what his essence is. I think, brothers and sisters, you should be clear of this. God is nothing else but a spirit. God is not something physical nor psychological. God is nothing other than spirit. God is spirit. Therefore, he created man with a spirit in order to enable man to contain him as spirit. In the heaven and earth, among all God's creatures, there's no one but man. Man has has spirit. Because in man's creation, God created man as spirit to be united with man, to be one life with man, for man to be a God-man and children of God. All of that is for God's purpose, God's eternal purpose. What I've just spoken about, even when we talk about the Spirit, we must speak according to the present vision and revelation. Don't say, oh, in 1950, I was there, I heard about it. No, that's inadequate. What I read, he's speaking to the elders and co-workers. Yes, you know, but you need to be aware of, yes, you can speak about the messages about the mingled spirit, but you do not strictly walk according to the spirit. You yourself do not walk and live according to the spirits. So what? You do not set your mind on the spirit. You know how to speak the message, but how much have you lived in it? Three, only the human spirit can contact and touch the spirit. God is spirit, but if we do not contact him with our spirit, we cannot touch him, even though he is real. B, in order to worship God, we must worship him in our spirit. For spirit is the nature of God. One, to worship God is not merely to kneel down and prostrate ourselves before him, rather is to interact with him, contact him, partake of him, eat him, drink him, and receive him into us. You say, I know it. Don't say, talk about it. You think we're children, eating, enjoying the Lord, it's so to fellowship with the Lord, to contact him. We know about it. Yes, you may know about it, but the question is, every day in our fellowship with him, contact him, eating and drinking, enjoying him, do we really have such experience? And how much do we enjoy him? Or was it like for 20, 30, 40 years? It's all about the same. Look. In eternity, in the New Jerusalem, we're still eating, we're still drinking from the water of life, we're still eating the tree of life forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, this is what we need to continue on and moving forward all the time. our eating and drinking of the Lord should be more than last year. In other words, this year, you can use the language of this message. Our worship of Him must be higher this year, must be deeper this year. And two, we need to understand the matter of worshiping God in John 4:24 in light of verse 14, which says, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall no means thirst forever, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." And Brother Lee, once said, "I did not even go to theological school. I didn't go to seminary. Even I did not finish college. I came to the United States in this country of Christianity. I challenged the entire Christianity. No double doubt it. It's irrefutable that in our brother Lee, we can see God's sovereign arrangement. It's not how much you know. It's not how smart you are. It's not how successful you are, how educated you are. But the Lord has given the heavenly revelation and the high peak revelation to him, and that has touched the depth of the high peak of the divine revelation. In the simplest word, he used the elementary school's English, level of English, to expound to us the deepest and highest truth. It's like John, the Apostle John. His words are simple, not like Paul. He's highly educated. John was a fisherman, and he used simple words to release the highest truth. And the water in John 4:14 is God the Spirit. Who has seen it? The water is God the Spirit, and God the Spirit is the water. You say, it is simple. Yes, so words are simple, but you touch what's within. It's definitely not simple. Who among the Christians in Christianity today have such kind of speaking? To worship God is to drink the living water. Who can link worship with eating and drinking? We have totally touched something of life. We've touch something of an organic revelation, and that is the central revelation of the Bible, that God wants to be our life and all the life supply, our food, our water. It's God. And this eating and drinking is a real worship of the pneumatic God and pneumatic Christ. For us to eat and for us to drink, we must have a proper vessel to eat and drink. And thank the Lord, He has created such an organ that is our spirit. Because He is spirit, for us to touch Him, eat Him, enjoy Him, we must use our spirit. Hence, to worship God is to drink of God the Spirit as the living water. The more we drink of God the Spirit as the living water, the more we render real worship to God. In order to worship God, who is Spirit, that is to drink of Him as the living water, we must exercise our human spirit. I would like to repeat again. Forgive me. Please excuse me. I will repeat this. Don't think that, I know about it. I attain to it. don't speak about it anymore. No, no, it's not that. Today, under such a light, is our eating and drinking improving, making any progress? Have we reached our eating and drinking reached to a higher extent? The ordinary eating and drinking is insufficient today. Today, we need to have an eating of an overcomer, an eating of Zion, a kind of eating that it can cooperate or collaborate with the high peak of the divine revelation. Oh, therefore, it requires us to have a new practice, new exercise, more absolute exercise. Roman numeral 2, we are regenerated of God, the Spirit, to be spirits. God-men belonging to the species of God to see and enter into the kingdom of God. As I am considering the next Roman numerals, Roman numeral 2, 3, and 4, they're very interesting. If you view this with a high peak of the divine revelation, Roman number 2 is talking about our joining one with the Lord. This one who has passed through the process and consummated triune God as the Spirit, he as the all-inclusive Spirit has interacted, intersect, mingle with our spirit. And therefore, this Roman number 2 is a matter of regeneration. Therefore, regeneration is the life of God has entered into us to become our life. And what follows and are based upon our spirit being regenerated. And talk about the mingling of God and men. I'll jump to Roman number 3. The Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. This Roman numeral, I want to mention that again. Those 18 points are the mingling of God's spirit with man's spirit to become the key to our Christian life. Therefore, the two spirit, right, witnesses, we are children of God. The Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. And Roman 2 talk about we are God's children. Not only we have God's life, because we are God's children. We can be partakers of God's nature, the nature of Father God. So we talk about nature as a matter of mingling. The Roman number 2 is about union, the union in life. And Roman number 3 is about the mingling in nature, to partake of his divine nature. And Roman numeral 4, we become a dwelling place of God in our spirit, and the spirit is the indweller. What is here? Here is talking about incorporation. The mingling of the two spirit has an issue, and that issue is the incorporation of persons. We abide in him, we dwell in him, and he indwelling us. He becomes our habitation, dwelling place. He becomes our habitation or dwelling place. So this is the mutual indwelling is a matter of incorporation. Have you seen it? These words are simple. The verses are somewhat familiar to us. But do we have such a deep understanding, a high view, a high understanding. And Brother Lee said we should go level by level, step we can until there's no more flesh, no more natural man, but the spirit. But that is what? That is the new Jerusalem, the reality of the new Jerusalem. That is the attainment of God's organic salvation. And that is the ultimate consummation of the mingling of God and man. I don't have such an utterance to express my burden. I cannot fully release my burden. I hope that you can touch the burden with my spirit. We'll come back. Let's come back to Roman number 2. We'll talk about John 3, 6, and verses 5 and 6. We were regenerated by the Spirit. The Spirit begets, regenerate the Spirit. In John, before the Spirit worship the Spirit, John 3 says, the Spirit regenerates the Spirit. And we need to be born again or born anew. And the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, you don't need to be re-educated, but you need to be regenerated. You must have this. And it's so high, Nicodemus did not understand it. When we're regenerated of the Spirit, when we're regenerating our spirit, our tripartite being, the Spirit is our center, is the most important aspect, is our inner man. Today, through regeneration, we become God-men. That is the regenerating, a regenerating spirit. We regenerated us for us to be a God-man. In the initial stage of regeneration, is for us to be a God-man. But this life needs to grow us through His continuous dispensing, until it reaches our soul, our body, until our entire being will become alive, will be saved. This is God's economy. This is God's full salvation. This is the greatest thing. Today we are the God-man. We are the species of God. And this regeneration causes us to become God's species and enter into the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is not only the realm of God's reigning and ruling. This kingdom of God is the divine and mystical realm. Through regeneration, we have entered into it. So we begin with regeneration. We enter into a realm. I'll just read something. John 3:6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Isn't that mysterious? We're all man. We're all flesh. We're born of our parents, but we do have a second birth. That is the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. That is the Spirit within us. That is a Spirit within our spirit. And this Spirit causes us to become God's species. And this Spirit causes us to be the genuine God-man. And this regeneration, the mingling Spirit, causes us to see and enter into the divine and mystical realm that is the kingdom of God. John 3:6 says, the first Spirit mentioned here is the divine Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and the second Spirit is the human Spirit, the regenerated Spirit of man. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, the Spirit is God's Spirit, and His Spirit is the human Spirit, the regenerated Spirit of man. to regeneration is accomplished in the human spirit by the Holy Spirit of God with God's life to the uncreated eternal life. Thus, to be regenerated is to have the divine eternal life in addition to the human natural life as a new source and new element of a new person. See, such a man as we, a flesh, we can be regenerated to become a God man. Because we are born of God, the Spirit, to be spirits, God men. We have the uncreated life of God in us. That is really something. It's so wonderful. We have to see it. We become another kind of man, a new person. If we have seen this, our entire Christian life will be revolutionized. Wow, it is really something. B, two, regeneration is accomplished in the human spirit by the Holy Spirit of God. We read this. Three, thus to be regenerated is to have the divine eternal life in addition to the human natural life as the new source and new element of the new person. B, we are flesh and born of flesh in our natural life, but we're born of God, the Spirit, to be spirits, God, man. Wow. So we have been born of the Spirit, then because we're born of God the Spirit, we must be the same as He is in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. It's only in life and nature we are gods, but not in the Godhead. You see? Can you see it? It's not only high. It is so real. It is so logical. Today, we have seen it. We know it. And two, our second birth calls us to enter into the kingdom of God to become the species of God. How many Christians today can really see this? Almost none. No, none. They're just doing what they want to do. Who has talked about God's species? Who talks about entering into the kingdom of God? Who emphasizes the second birth? Three, we need to see that we are God-man, born of God and belonging to God's species. This is the beginning of the God-man living. Let me tell you, the real, genuine God-man living begins with our regeneration. Brother Lee said, if every day you just keep remember every day that I am God's species, I am a God-man. Even that thought, that consideration will change your life. Can a God-man speak in such a way? Can a species of God treat others in such a way? The Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. This is higher, deeper, the mingling of the two spirits in such an act of witnessing that will give us a confirmation, a witness, an assurance that we are the children of God. One day, we have heard about the gospel. We believe into Jesus. We believe into His name. We enter into Him. Then we will have the authority to become children of God. But that is such a beginning, initiation. Every day in our experience, we must have a continual witnessing. Every day in the morning, there is such a confirmation. I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. As long as we exercise our spirit begin to witness that the Spirit of God also correspond and confirm and witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Not only in the Lord's table, we say, Abba, Father, we sing such a hymn, we render such a worship and praise to the Father. That kind of witnessing, that kind of response and echoing is so sweet, so satisfying, so real. Brothers and sisters, we are the children of God. I'm a child of God. Romans 8:16 reveals that today the Spirit, the own curse, the Spirit of the Triune God dwells in all of us, and today He's operating in my spirit. And number one, the two spirits become one spirit. Listen, listen, to live together, to work together in a, such a mingled spirit, and the spirit with our spirit, spirit echoes, fellowships with the spirit, and witnessing together, fellowshipping together, confirming together. That proves that we are the children of God. And such a testimony, such a witnessing will bring in, when the two spirits operate together, will cause us to have such a living that as we live one with the Father, that is the mingled spirit. Today, the Spirit of God is totally mingled together with our spirits, one. There's no divorce in the with the two spirits. The two spirits is not only mingled, not only regenerated us, but every day the Spirit lives together, the Spirit lives and witnesses and works together. See, this is a Christian life. Two, the Spirit witnesses to our most basic and elementary relationship with God, namely that we are His children. Therefore, the witnessing of the Spirit begins from the time of our spiritual birth, our regeneration. So many Christians, they only know, oh, I'm saved, I'm regenerated, but they do not know that the what is the meaning of regeneration? What is the deepest meaning of regeneration? It's not that we just have another life from our natural life. That's good. But what we're seeing today, the matter of regeneration is so wonderful, so high. It is the initiation of our organic salvation. It is when the two spirits are mingled together as one forever, and that becomes one spirit. 1 Timothy 6, the two spirits, and the two spirits become one spirit. It's that they are not two spirits, but only one spirit. Three, the witnessing spirit with our spirit is witnessing all the time, but the spirit will not. We're guaranteeing restricting us to work and walk with us. Now it talks about experience. I hope that in the messages today, we must pay attention to the matter of experience, not only knowledge, revelation, or doctrines, but we must pay attention to experience. Look at the witnessing of the Spirit with our spirit that guarantees that we are God's children. But there's a limitation, there's a restriction. And the result of that, every day we should live according to this life and live according to the Spirit, to live and act according to the Spirit. And that is, that matches our position as a child of God. This is not to keep the law. This is not to live according to morality or ethics. yes, it's good, but we can't do it. We can't attain to it, right? We need God's spirit. We need God's life. We know we are a child of God because there's an inward proof. That inward witnessing or proof is the spirit witnessing with our spirit and working together with us. Two, the witnessing spirit with our spirit is witnessing all the time. But many Christians are not used to listening to this inward witness. Many things are outward. Even among us, many brothers and sisters, they are, after so many years, they still pay attention to the outward things, the physical things. Yes, we live in the physical realm, but we must exercise to live in the divine and mystical realm to experience the Spirit, to experience this Christ, to experience the divine life and divine nature. That is in everything that we do, every word that we speak, every expression, every gesture, every demeanor between husband and wife, between parents and children, among the saints, in everything that we do. Oh, may the witnessing spirit, that is, may the mingled spirit be operating in us, to work within us, to function within us, to check within us, to check, are you child of God? Yes, you are a child of God. Yes, you are. How can you do such a thing? How can you be in such a way? Romans 4, we have become a dwelling place of God in our spirit, and the spirit is the indweller. Ephesians 2:22 speaks of the believer's human spirit, which is indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. One, God's spirit is the dweller, not the dwelling place. The dwelling place is the believer's spirit. God's spirit dwells in our spirit. Therefore, the dwelling place of God is in our spirit. God dwells in our spirit. Two, Ephesians 2:21 says that the holy temple is in the Lord. And verse 22, that the dwelling place of God is in spirit. This indicates that for the building of God's dwelling place, the Lord is one with our spirit. Our spirit is one with the Lord. Doesn't matter if it is in the Lord or in the spirit. It may be the temple or the dwelling place. They are all joined as one. This is a mutual abode, a mutual dwelling place. God and we have become the dwelling place, the temple, the abode, the tabernacle, the indweller, and the dwelling place. We indwell one another mutually. He indwells in us, and we indwells in him, we abide in him, and he abides in us. Therefore, the Lord is one spirit with our spirit. We become one spirit with the Lord. Therefore, our spirit is one with his spirit. It's inseparable. B, our spirit is where the building of the church, the dwelling place of God, takes place. Practically speaking, the church is absolutely a matter in our spirit. We as a church are being built together, not in our mind, but in our spirit. This is so practical. We can say that in the churches, we have the church life, we've been built together. Please remember, the matter of the church is not outward. It's nothing in our mind. It's not in our soul. The church is in our spirit. It is in our spirit. There's the reality of the body of Christ. As a church, we've been built together in the church. It's not in our mind, but in our spirit. Two, if we stay in our mind, we may eventually express our different opinions and dissenting concepts. But if we come together by exercising our spirit, we will meet, live, coordinate, and serve without dissenting thoughts or opinions. This is the proper church life in the spirit. You see, the real oneness, the real harmony, the real one accord comes by no other way, but by we not living our mind, but living in the spirit. Look, the spirit is not only our spirit, but our spirit being one with the spirit. The Lord and I, and we are one spirit. And it is in this spirit that all of us are blended into one to become one spirit corporately. So this spirit, this corporate spirit, is the church. Is the church. It is where the reality of the church is. Look, we must live a life in our spirit. We must serve, meet, and do all things in the church life to be in the mingle spirit. The entire Christian life has a key. The key is the mingle spirit. And the key of the entire church life is also in the mingle and the corporate spirit. And lastly, three, when we participate in the church life by remaining in our spirit, God has a dwelling place. My time has passed a little, so I will stop here. Amen.